Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And if you were to read the title on the screen tonight, it says, Belonging to the Right Crowd. Some of you are going to have to change crowds after tonight. I see who you're sitting around. Not really. But when you read that and you see belonging to the right crowd, what is it that might come to your mind? What does that mean? It's okay to talk. Okay, who you run with? Positive people. Somebody else. Similar interest. Okay. All right. Carry on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about who your crowd is? Who you hang around? Exodus chapter 32 and verse 26. And the Bible says, And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, I'm in the wrong verse. It's 25, isn't it? I got 26 on the board. I'm not sure who did this PowerPoint. And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose, they were out of control. Who said that? That's exactly right. Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. Although it's good for a Christian, and it's good for our Christian brothers and sisters to learn to stand alone. It's good for us to learn to stand out there sometimes when we're all by ourselves. And we have to stand up tall and we have to stand up on our box and we have to say, this is who I am. And we're standing against the crowd, against the test, so to speak. The truth is, man is made. You and I are made so that we have fellowship with God and we are surrounded with fellowship of God's people. And we're made like that. We're made to be around a group of people. You see, remember when God, He looked upon Adam and He said that it's not good for man to be alone. I don't want man to be alone. Most people are going to search for companions. Most people are going to search for friends, for people to be around. In other words, you will have a crowd of some sort. It may be your Sunday school crowd. It may be your work crowd. It may be your family crowd. It may be friends or co-workers or relatives or for some, the TV and radio become their buddies. But my dad said a long time ago, and I've probably told you this, but you are whom you hang around. You will become whoever you hang around, which is kind of a scary thought. Because I think back in my life of some of the people that I've hung around, and that's not always a positive. But he always said, Bill, you're going to be whoever you hang around. Mark it down. That's who you're going to become. And if you hang around someone with a bad habit, then more times than not, you're going to gravitate to that bad habit. If you hang around someone that for example, is maybe a curser, then there's a chance that's going to gravitate in your life, and it did. I hung around those people and I started doing that. So you are who you hang around. There's something to that simple yet very meaningful. How about little children? They gravitate to sometimes. Sometimes they become so lonely they invent something. They'll have a imaginary friend. Unfortunately, that just doesn't stop with children, amen? But there are people, little babies, that will have an imaginary friend, and they will invest in this imaginary buddy. You see, so I think the Bible teaches that it is vital that we surround ourselves with the right kind of people, with the right crowd. You see, your crowd identifies who you are. It tells a story. When you walk up with a group of people, you are telling everyone else a story. Just simply by who you're walking around. You say, well, who is the right crowd? Well, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do we have that up there, Karen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Because first we're going to notice tonight the right crowd is the saved crowd. The right crowd for a Christian fellowship is the saved crowd. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? So in other words, we're living with Christian values. We're cherishing time together to spend with other Christians. It's hard to hang around that person that's not a Christian and not gravitate toward them. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad not to be friendly and with unbelievers, because we're called to reach those people. And in order to reach those people, we have to have a relationship with those people. But there's a difference in a relationship and a friendship. And as that relationship grows and they learn to come to the Lord, then our friendship grows. So let's not confuse the two, but to live with Christian values, to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The right crowd is the saved crowd. Perception is reality. You can mark that down and underline it. Perception is reality. People identify you with who you are around. And so it's a very conscious process of who are you going to allow in your circle. And there's some teenagers here tonight, and maybe not a more important message for you in your school age of who are you going to allow in your circle. It's very important, because perception is reality. Karen and I have met many wonderful people in our years in education and church and many, many wonderful people. But very few of those people do we allow within our circle. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm always afraid that they want something more than just a friendship. Because in my profession, people try to use different things to get different things. And so, you know, Karen and I, close friends, close, probably not very many, because we've been very selective on who we want to allow in our little bubble, because we're scared to death of who gets in our bubble. And that's not always perfect, but it does make us think about, as we all should, who we're allowing inside of that bubble. So the right crowd is the saved crowd. First, second, turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Because also the right crowd is the serving crowd. So we want to be around people that are saved, and now we want to be around the serving crowd. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person. Have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Now note that man, and have no company with him. That's what it says. If he's not obeying the word by the epistle, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So what does that mean to the right crowd is the serving crowd? Well, I think it's simple. I think the right crowd is serving in a fundamental Bible-believing church. It is a church that believes that Jesus Christ is not only the reason for existence individually, but the reason for existence of the church. A fundamental Bible-believing church. They're serving with faithful consistency. They're serving as the Father's children. Doing what they do, again, what we talked about this morning, doing what they do for the Lord, not for self, not self-seekers, but they're simply serving to follow Jesus. So we have the saved crowd, and we have the serving crowd. Those that believe in Christ and those who are following Christ are serving Christ in their daily life. And then there's the soul-winning crowd. Flip back over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. Turn over to Proverbs 13 and look at verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Some of your translations may say, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now look at Proverbs 14. Look at verse 7. Leave the presence of a fool. Now nobody get up and leave. For there you do not meet words of knowledge. Leave the presence of a fool. So the right crowd is the soul-winning crowd. The right crowd is the fruit of righteousness, is this tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. The right crowd, the soul-winning crowd, are the ones that carry the message of Jesus Christ on the tip of their tongue. The ones that carry Jesus Christ in the way they walk, in the way they handle things, in the way this problem is today, and this adversity has just shocked my world, but the way I handle that is showing Jesus and Christ coming out in me. That I don't walk in my office and throw everything against the wall. That I don't curse at whoever shows up to give me a chance to curse. I handle it with graciousness. Even when it's a sword and it pierces me. And you know it's wrong and you felt like you've been done wrong. But the soul-winning crowd handles things as Christ would handle them. We handle things in prayer, in supplication, and turning things over to God. We always are showing and carrying the Word of God with us. And I don't mean I'm walking down the road with this, but I mean in what comes out of my mouth, what shows on my facial expression. Do you know you tell a lot about yourself by your body language? Sure you do. Ashton can tell you how much I love to talk about body language. Because I think there are certain things people do in their body language that tells me exactly how you feel. What do you think if you're up here preaching and the guy's sitting there like this? What kind of body language do you equate that to? Bored. I don't care. Right? Or when you're talking to somebody and they're standing there like this. But just the way we act and react is a form of body language, and we're telling people who we are and whose we are by the way we act. And the soul-winning crowd, the body language is of Christ. We have a clear testimony, not only in our lips, where we're not obscuring the gospel, but in our life, where we're living in such a way as to adorn the gospel, as to love the gospel. We're covering our territory. In other words, we're reaching out, we're supporting missions, but we're also taking care of our own little Jerusalem. The people next door. The people next door to us. We're doing what we can to reach Russellville and our community, our street, our corner. The soul-winning crowd participates in the church's soul-winning effort. In our lips, inviting people to church, presenting the gospel, in the way we live, in the way we act and react. We try to win people on a daily basis. I think we would be amazed if we lined people up and we said, how many people did you talk about Jesus this week? How many people, if they were honest, would say, zero. Zero. But if we're going to be in a crowd, we want to be in a crowd of soul winners. There's nothing more exciting when you are around someone that can talk about Jesus and never speak His name. That's exciting to me. They're talking to somebody about Christ and they hadn't said Jesus yet. And it just bubbles out of them because they're excited about it. And then Jesus comes up and they can tell you, this is what Jesus has done in my life. Boom, 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 boom. We need to spend more time doing that. That's the kind of people we need to become, and that's the crowd in which we need to follow. So the soul-winning crowd, the saved crowd, and the serving crowd. Fourth is the separated crowd. Turn over to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. The right crowd is the separated crowd. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. With respect to this, that are surprised when you do not join to them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. Yours may say, wherever they think strange, that you run not with them to the same excess or riot, speaking evil of you. The right crowd is the separated crowd. What does that mean? Well, here's an idea of what it means. If Christianity, if being a follower of Christ, a Christ follower, was simple, everyone would do it. Now think of that. If it were easy, everyone would do it. If going to college and getting a master's degree and going to get a doctorate degree were easy, everybody would do it. But it's not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. And whoever tells you it is easy, they're not telling you the whole truth, right? It's not easy. But we have to separate ourselves from the world to be separated. I tell people all the time that we have to be separated in our attitude. It goes to back to what we talked about a while ago. We have to be separated in our attitude. And separation is really a matter of the heart. We have to be separated in our associations. Who we associate with. Who we let hang around. Who we let fill our trash bin up. Trash in, trash out, right? Who we listening to. Who we turn that radio on? Who are we listening to? What TV are we listening to? What music are we listening to? We have to be separated in our associations. We have to be separated in our appearance. And our appearance of how we handle things. And then obviously we have to be separated in our action. and how we handle things. Most churches are very forgiving until something happens to them. And then it's a complete different story. We're that way in life, aren't we? We don't understand how people react and act. Why are they acting like that? Until it happens to us. And then we act 10 times worse than they did. I don't understand why they can't control their kids. And then your kids walk in, they're tearing the house down. Until you have kids, you don't know anything about all that. I learned that the hard way. I used to say that all the time. What in the world are these people doing? Their kids are a wreck. And then I had kids. It's a whole different story. But we have to be separated in our actions. So I would close tonight by asking you a question. Who is your crowd? Who is it that you allow to influence your life? Who is it you allow to influence your decisions? And are those influences in your life, are they saved? Are they serving? Are they separated? Are they a soul-winning crowd? And then you have to ask the question, well, with which crowd am I comfortable? And that may allow you to answer something you really don't want to know. What crowd am I comfortable within? Because I'm going to tell you, back in my day when I could really speak with a lot of bad words, that's the crowd I hung around. But now when I'm around somebody that just says a cuss word, I'm uncomfortable. I don't even want to be around that. I don't even want to be in the presence of somebody that says anything. And they say, well, that's not even a curse word. Yeah, it is. I don't want to be around that. So it's changed of how and who I want to be around. I'm not comfortable around those anymore. And you have to decide, what are you comfortable around? Who are you comfortable around? And possibly you might need to change crowds. And I want you to know that changing crowds is okay. I think in a sense the Bible teaches that we need to be in the correct crowd, and that may mean changing. That may mean running with a different group. That may be hanging out with people that are like you, which we talked about this morning. The reason you're in this church, I hope and pray, is because you're like-minded with everyone in this crew. And I think that goes exactly back to baptism. One of the questions preachers have all the time is, why do I have to be baptized again? I was baptized over in the blankety-blankety-blank church, you name it, whatever that is. Why, when I come to a Baptist church, do I have to be baptized again? What's the significance of that? Because the Bible says one baptism, doesn't it? Well, when you get baptized again, this is just free for tonight. But when you get baptized again, it has nothing to do with what God has commanded us to do to follow Him in baptism. But what it has to do with is you stepping up in front of this church and you saying, I know that I was baptized at First Assembly of God of Kalamazoo, Michigan. I know that. But what I'm telling you today is I'm going to be baptized today at Second Baptist Church, not because it's going to help me get to heaven and not because my palace there is going to be any bigger. But here's what it says. It says, I am like-minded with Second Baptist Church, and I want everybody to know it. And it is my sacrifice so that others understand I want to be just like you, and I want to think just like you, and I want to be a part of this congregation. That's what it is. And a lot of people don't understand that because you have a lot of people that will not join a church because they have to be baptized again in a certain denomination. And so my word to all them always is all of you're doing is unifying yourself and saying, I want to be a part of that fellowship. And here's my outward sacrifice to do that. So sometimes we have to separate ourselves away from the crowd. Father God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And Father, may we examine in our own lives the crowd that's around us, who we hang around, who we run around, Lord, and to make sure that we're hanging around the saved crowd and the soul-winning crowd and the serving crowd. Father, that we're separating ourselves. And Father, that we may have the gospel of Christ on our tongue, in our actions, in our body language, in everything that we do. Father, thank you for this meeting tonight that we can gather here and talk about you. In Jesus' name, amen.